God, Renee, you did not.
I said we're still a little off center.
No, we're not.
We are. Rick, are we still a little off center?
A little bit.
Oh,
a little
God.
Bit.
Look, I'll just turn
no,
this
no,
shit.
Not this.
I'll move it that
not
way.
Not that.
I'll fuck everybody
you
up again.
You and I in the frame.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Moving on.
Details,
moving
details,
on.
Details. We. This is how we're going to start. How are you?
I'm good. I'm stuck in the details.
You look very beautiful as always.
Thank you.
Renee loves seasons because of her outfits.
Well,
I already
know
you. You're already doing the spring thing.
Yeah, well, because it's hot here in Texas. If I could wear a few more jackets, I would. But it's
no, come winter, hot. Like, it's not even that cold, and she's got the coats on. And I'm like, it's all about the wardrobe. It has
layers,
nothing to do.
It's
bullshit.
In the winter and the boots.
Is,
and
bullshit.
In Texas, our window of opportunity to wear those things is very small. So you have to almost, like, pick which jackets you want to wear that season.
Yes, tell us more. For the ladies, they listen. They don't want to hear me. They don't want to hear me.
Go on.
No. I'm
hi,
actually,
welcome. Hello.
Let's talk seasons.
Okay. What
do you, I wasn't going to do that, but here we are.
Yeah, I know you already. I thought you were going to pick on me for my ring. You were already talking about my ring.
No, I'm not going to pick on you about your ring. I don't even know what the fuck is going on right now. So, since we're
I almost feel like this is one of those episodes where I need to clap and start again.
No, we're not starting again. We're not starting again. Everybody's going to get this one.
Okay.
This is the episode that they're getting. They're getting the Captain Evil's giddy for no reason. What's going on?
It might be the Dayquil. Maybe that's what it is. I'm a cheap
Are you on
pie.
Dayquil? No, seriously. Talk about, so spring. Let's talk spring.
Spring. Yes, spring.
Well, seasons. Let's talk wardrobe.
There's flowers. You can start to wear open-toed shoes. Like, what do you want to talk about?
All of that.
You wear a tank top year-round. This is a weird conversation to have with you.
Oh, Renee, how can you be showered and ready in 10 minutes? I wear the same shit every day.
You do.
Every day.
You do. And to the point where I'm like, okay, you need to, like, switch the hat.
But Adrian's the same way.
It's time to wash
like,
that
Adrian's
hat.
Not a fashion guy. Adrian's T-shirt, shorts, he's out the door, right?
The industry we're in.
Yeah, I mean, he's out the door.
Yeah.
Rick, same thing. Well, now Rick will match his sneakers. Rick's a sneakerhead. He is all about the sneakers.
Is that a term, a sneakerhead?
Yes, right? Yes.
Yes?
How many pairs of sneakers do you have, Rick?
37.
No.
Why, is that a lot?
Is
that
just like a guess, or you like really know the number of
he
sneakers
he literally
you have?
Did not fucking hesitate. He was like, I have 37.
Yeah, I collect them, yeah.
How many Jordans?
So that's a sore spot for me. Only three pairs. Because I have two pairs of Jordan 4s and then a pair of Jordan 5s. But it's a sore spot because every time I go out, Gigi pulls me away and says, no.
Yeah, but you make money now. Why can you not go get the shoes you want?
Because they're $700 for the ones I want.
So get what you want. You earned it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like all the women wearing those. What are they? The Golden Goose sneakers that are like.
You never got into
bucks.
Those.
No, I didn't. I'd rather spend it on something else. That's just me. I'm not that I wouldn't spend it. I would just rather spend it on something else than sneakers.
37 pair of tennis shoes.
How many pairs?
Which
of boots
one's your favorite?
You have?
How many boots do I have? I have a lot of boots.
But, and those all look the same. They're not even different colors. They're black or brown. You have two options.
But they give them to me.
It's not like Jordans that come in a variety of colors.
I don't like walking to the boot store going, gosh, I need a pair that matches my green tank top. Like,
no, but it is like a hobby for you too, just like the collecting shoes.
No, it's not so much.
Cowboy boots are almost like
not so much it's a hobby. I do like nicer pairs of boots. I'm not going to shit on any boots out there, but the cheaper boots, they're not comfortable.
Yeah.
So I have gotten to the point where I get nicer pairs of boots.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite pair?
Jordan 4s black.
The black Jordan 4s.
I didn't realize Jordans were so expensive. I mean, I knew they were pricey, but I didn't realize.
No, they're very
they
expensive. But what's crazy to me is the sustainability of Jordans.
Yeah.
The fact that my son, who's 8 years old, is like, I want Jordans.
Yeah.
Like for us, I understand why me and Adrian and Rick want them. We grew up watching Michael Jordan.
Right.
I remember the commercials. Like,
but why do 7-year-old boys care?
Yeah. Why do 8-year-old boys? That's what's been, whatever Jordan does to market is genius.
Yeah.
Because
Garrett hates to tie his shoes and he still wants to wear Jordans. Well,
you know, I did a show for Daniel McCutcheon, our friend, and I did the show for free. Of course, he's our friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's such a class act. He wanted to give me a gift. He gave me a pair of Jordan 1s.
Uh-huh.
And they're in my closet. They're the most uncomfortable shoe I've ever worn in my life.
Are they really?
Oh, my. I was like, oh, I'll wear them with sweats or something. So I put them on. And I'm like, these are fucking garbage. Oh my
God. No, it was muddy outside and you came out in the Jordans with sweats and you looked like you were wearing a costume. It was so out of character.
It wasn't me.
Even our niece, because I think our nieces were visiting, they were like, what? What? Why does
No, because all my other two tennis shoes were filthy muddy. Mm. And so I'm like, okay, I'll throw these on with sweats. And I was like, these are so fucking uncomfortable. And they don't look like me. I mean, they are beyond uncomfortable.
But
not even like, Adrian, have you ever worn them?
Not the Jordan 1s, no.
Rick, are they uncomfortable to you?
All Jordans are uncomfortable. Well, let me say this. The Jordans 1 through 10s are so uncomfortable.
1 through 10, he knows.
Why? That's crazy.
I don't get it. I honestly, I am of the age of comfort.
Well, that's some amazing branding.
I don't care what I look like. I want it to be comfortable. Like when I buy underwear, I want the crotch pre-stretched. I don't want to have to break in.
It doesn't take much.
Oh, shit. Let's start over. Let's start this episode over. I don't like Renee having good ones. That's good, honey. I'm proud of you. Thanks. Very proud of you. But that's interesting. Well, Renee does go, she goes nuts for stilettos, heels.
No, I don't know about that. That's your mama. Your mama has an amazing shoe collection.
Oh, she has
insane. She will like bring me a pair of shoes and be like, I bought these. I don't need them. And they're like,
you have fun, a shit funky. Ton of shoes, Renee.
I do. I need to clear out some of my closet.
Shit ton.
But I have bad feet. So these days I'm about more practical shoes too.
No, getting old.
But they have to look cute. It's hard to find cute, practical shoes. I don't want like orthopedics.
Well, she's got quite the tennis shoe collection as well.
I do.
Renee has a lot of tennis. I'm like.
Well, because they have to match your clothes.
No,
like,
they don't.
Yes, Adrian they didn't do. Wear, they have
like,
to
I like those. I took a picture of them, Renee. I want some of those. Uh-huh. But because I like them, they're just gray. Like they're just, you know what I mean? Like they're just, they're clean. They're simple. They're just fucking great.
Yeah.
They're actually tall. You get like an extra inch on there, Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, babe, I need those. Yeah. I need those. But no, but those are just.
An extra inch more than
those
one
are,
place.
Like, to me, nice, regular shoes.
You don't hear my joke. That or you totally ignored it the way what? I ignored a lot of yours. I said you need an extra inch in more than one place.
Oh, you motherfuckers. All right. Okay. It's going to be that kind
You're
of episode.
You're setting me up today.
I'm just, look, I have been so nice to you. I have been so nice to you. I was going to say your boobs are hanging out if there were any. If you had some. Oh, shit, son.
Not that funny.
Here we go.
Not that funny.
But you have a nice pooper, and that's why That's why you're a homeowner. That is why you're a homeowner. Okay, anyway, this, you can laugh. We have a new girl that works for the social media company, and
it's before, our first time to sit in on the podcast.
It's our first day.
Oh, and, it's our first day.
When we hire people here at the social media company, we pretty much sit them down and go, bitch, fuck, dick, and then we check your face. And then her face was like, all right, it's a place I want to work. And we're like, okay, you're in. Sign here, 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 here. Initial here, initial here. Sign here, here.
It's like the contract on Wonka.
On Wonka, yeah. Don't read it. Just sign it. But anyway, I was actually, you know, I was thinking just our weekend to talk about our weekend.
Yeah.
I just love having my family with me on the road.
Yeah.
So this weekend was kind of an interesting one to take the family, but we had not traveled as a family in quite some time.
Well, we kind of looked at your schedule for the year, and now that you're doing theaters, I mean, it's easier to travel as a family when you're doing a comedy club and we're in the same place for 3 or 4 days. You know, you check into the hotel, I actually unpack our suitcases.
And we get to see the town.
Yeah, we're there. Now that you're doing theaters, it's harder to take two kids along.
It's definitely hard. So we did the tour bus thing so that we'd have a kind of a home.
Yes.
if you will, but we didn't even see Chattanooga.
No, we flew in, the bus picked us up at the airport, and we went straight to the theater, and the kids were so wiped, they didn't even want to get out of the bus.
Well, but they do love it. Like, yes. They get in their little bunks, and they set up their little, you know, Garrett's got a system. Uh-huh. You know, all the bunks have their own little plugs, and Garrett's in there charging his headphones, and
he calls it his man cave.
And he just loves it. And then Delilah just runs up and down.
This time she called it my princess bunk.
Yeah,
she said, I'm going to go to my princess bunk.
And, you know, so we got to Chattanooga. By the way, beautiful little town. I wish we would have gotten to see.
I know. You guys were really sweet. I posted on Instagram, like, where should we go? We don't have a lot of time in each city. And people sent some great recommendations for Chattanooga. We just didn't have time to do. We didn't have time. We didn't do anything.
You know, and I mean, the kids didn't even want to go into the theater.
No.
Like, they're like, we're just going to chill. Woke up in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, Knoxville, not that many things to do.
No, but when you're traveling with kids or when you're doing it the way we do, the thing that was really convenient about Knoxville is everything was right there. We were able to, like, yeah, as opposed to some of the other cities.
Yeah, we would walk to things.
We could walk to breakfast. We could come back to the bus when Delilah needed a change of clothes and then go back out again, and it wasn't a big deal.
That's where we went to the Children's Museum. And it's so funny because Garrett's at the age, he's eight. He's at the age where he's like, it's for babies. I don't want to go. It's for babies.
Well, because they have like the little playground. But then you get there
and then he's playing like a baby. Like he's like all over it, running around. Oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm like, oh, I thought it was for babies.
No, we just had to find the things that were more in his wheelhouse.
Well, I will tell you that Delilah, she's our little gangster. She will not look for you.
No, and she meets a friend everywhere she goes.
So Renee went off with Garrett, and she goes, I'll stay with Delilah. You literally have to be next to her, and you have to have eyes on her at all times because she does not give a fuck. She literally will just walk off. Garrett would be like, Dad, follow, like, come here. Delilah, like, she's hanging out with some other kid that was homeless, I guess. I don't know. I don't know where the mom was. I think the little kid lives there. But Delilah's like, I'm Delilah. Like, she's so, want to be my friend?
Yeah.
Want to play?
Yeah.
And then I just had the moment. They're in this, it's like a rocket ship. Like, it's a whole NASA theme thing. It's like a rocket ship. They have little controls. And these two little girls are running the show. And other kids would come and play. And they'd be like, well, you need to sit over there because... You know, we're dealing with a meteor shower. And then Delilah blew my mind. She goes, there's a meteor coming in 1 hour. We have no choice but to improvise. I'm like, did my three-year-old just say improvise? Like, it was, so she's hanging on this little girl. And I mean, they probably played in there for, and I just watched them. And if you're not a parent,
yeah,
you don't know, like, I don't want to be at the Children's Museum. Like, I don't want to fucking be there.
Yeah.
But then I find myself lost in watching my kid have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I just sat there. You know what I mean? You just watch your kids enjoy. And Delilah was enjoying. She made this little friend, ugly little kid. And, I mean, I think she lived there. I didn't see her mom at all.
Oh, no. I had while you were off with Garrett watching the show in the planetarium, I had a little girl come up to me crying, just like in tears, shaking. And I'm like, what happened? Are you hurt? Where's your mom? I'm like looking around. They can't find her. Another woman comes up to me. She goes, if you take her to the front desk, they'll help her find her mom. But I'm like, this place is not that big. Like, there's a crying child here. Who doesn't see them?
I mean, but I forgive that parent. Mm-hmm. Because a few times I'm like, oh, shit, there goes Delilah. Like, I mean, where she just took off.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like chasing her down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If you have more than one. I saw a grandma who was there with two kids, and the lost little girl kind of resembled the grandma. So I was like, did you lose someone? I was like, did you? She goes, oh, no. She goes, I can barely keep up with two. I'm not bringing more than that here.
So then Delilah loses that friend. Not in a bad way. Like, they lost each other. So then Delilah made a new friend. And then the other friend came back. She's like, where's Delilah? And I'm like, oh, bad news, kid. Delilah's got a new homie. Like, now there's three. When it's three, it ain't going to work.
numbers.
And yeah, and Delilah was like, "You're yesterday's news. Like, get out of here, old friend." Then, because the other one was older.
Yeah.
So then she's hanging out with her.
She's improvising with the older kid.
She's improvising with the older kid. But then I did sneak away with Garrett and Adrian, Rick. Man, such a, they have a, what are those called? The planetariums, mm-hmm. where the screen is all the way around you, like a dome. And they did the entire journey of landing on the moon. And I took Garrett, and Garrett was so interested.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What year was that? And who went? And how old is, I mean, Garrett just, I mean, from the conception, they showed all the news clips and going to the moon and Apollo 1 and, you know, all the way to Apollo 3. And
it was, I mean, really well produced.
It was really well produced. And you know, Garrett just, it's just so interesting that Garrett has such interest in things like that.
Yeah.
At 8.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, for sure he's going to be like, fuck this, right? But he was, I need to learn more about it. And I'm like, that's all, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Meanwhile, Delilah's throwing sticks at kids, you know, just making new friends. But it was really cool. And Knoxville, the crowd was amazing. The theater.
Oh, my Tennessee gosh. Theater. That theater was beautiful.
Is that the theater that he got to move the?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So check this out. So cool. When you explain, because you were there for it all.
So it's a historic theater. It is an old theater. They call it the State Theater, I think, but it's the Tennessee Theater. And there's a statue. And when you walk in, the statue is facing everyone as they walk into the venue. Then one of the ushers, like Garrett, it's a statue from the 1920s. It's on a swivel. So Garrett, they let Garrett turn it around towards the end of your show.
Yeah, when
people walk out of the theater, now
see it
the
again.
Statue is facing them, watching
and,
them again.
And what went through my brain, because I am the guy, Adrian, that watches a movie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure Rick is too. I find all the continuity, right? Like, I see them drink a glass of wine, and then it's more full.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all those
little
things.
Dude, we'll be watching something, and he'll be like, "Did you see that?" And he, like, you have to rewind it and point it out.
And I go, "Look, he unlocked the door twice." Like, he unlocked it, and then he went to get back in and unlocked it again.
Yeah.
I'm like, so all those little details, I'm the guy that, Rick, do you find those?
I'm sure Rick does.
I try not to. As someone who's has to look at continuity, I try and not look at other people's mistakes.
Just ignore it and give them a pass?
Exactly.
I catch it all. I mean, from their shirt buttons to, like, I will see something and go, "Look, Renee, look what just happened." You know, and I'll rewind it. She's like,
yeah.
"Do we have to really stop?" And but
don't worry, Rick. He's not going to watch Simple Man. He won't catch him.
I catch the details. Yeah, well, don't worry about that. And I'm really good at the game. It used to be in a bar, my uncle's bar, where they go, "What are the difference in the photographs?"
Yeah.
Right? And you have to.
That's
have
a game
to,
in a bar? I remember that from Children's
well,
Highlights
Well, the
magazine.
Girl's usually naked at the bar.
Oh.
I mean, it's a scene with a naked girl.
A little different than Highlights
yeah.
magazine.
Some
it.
Of the bars that my uncle owned, you should probably not hang out at those bars. But I'm good at those games, like finding. So my big question was, like, I wondered how many people actually walk into the theater, see the statue, then walk out and realize that it has been turned.
I'm sure a lot of people don't. I'm sure a lot of people don't. I was shocked that the statue's, like, not in a case or anything. That it's this old statue, a piece of history, and they'd, like, let... I mean, it was heavy. They helped Garrett turn it, but...
But it also, like... Not to go a whole other direction, but very quickly, that is the reason they have such a hard time in crime scenes
uh-huh.
with eyewitnesses. Because they all see things, they see different details in things.
Remember different things.
They remember different things. So it's really hard when three or four people were at the scene of a crime.
Uh-huh.
And usually their stories.
And you need consistency.
You need consistency. And usually... Somebody might have noticed that the car was red, and then you go to the person and go, "Well, was the car red?" And they go, "I'm pretty sure it was blue." Like, it, because of the way the brain, you
yeah.
know, the brain works. But I just want, like, I think I for sure would have been like, "Wait a minute, that statue."
You probably would have caught it. The other thing that was really cool is, so the during your set, the kids, we walked to the front and we took a picture with a big old light up marquee because it was beautiful. And then they walked through the front of the theater and got like popcorn. They gave them popcorn at the concession stand. And so when they saw us wandering around, they were like, do you want like a tour? Do you want the secrets of the theater? So that's when they showed us the statue. But they also had redone, they said when the artist came through to repaint the walls, because there's like woodwork on the walls and it had this like scalloped pattern. He was like, look, there are secret paintings in the wall. Yes. So that you wouldn't notice unless you like really, really looked. Yeah. It was like a half moon.
Kind of like Disney when they throw a dick in there.
Stop. Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, a mouse.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a dick. I'm pretty sure.
But one of them is like a face looking at you. Another one was like a bumblebee insect kind of thing.
That is
it
so
was cool. It was
that
really
is,
cool.
But, you know, that's the thing, too, with these beautiful theaters. And that is one of the things that I will say that is a positive for me doing theaters.
Yeah.
Is that as a husband and wife, if you're a fan and you want to go on a date, that date is now at this beautiful theater that maybe you wouldn't have gone.
The ambiance of it all. I would keep going back.
I love the backstage. I love being back there and it feels old.
Yeah.
You know, and you see these green rooms and you think to yourself, God, how many amazing artists have been back here.
In those dressing rooms.
And I think about Garrett and Delilah, like, it's really hard for me to comprehend what it must feel like to grow up the way they're growing up.
You know what's interesting is that
what was that?
They don't realize it.
They don't realize, well, right? They just think it's normal, which is, that's what I mean, like, you know, do they think it's normal? Do they understand that this is not normal?
It's different. I'm watching the experience as Garrett with just Garrett and now watching it with Delilah, and their response to it, their reaction to it is very different. For Garrett, I feel like Garrett wasn't aware. It was just normal. And not that it's just normal with Delilah, but Garrett never really took like an interest in what was happening. It was just happening. And with Delilah, like, when we went out and saw your picture on the marquee out front,
she lost it.
Delilah started jumping up and down. She goes, my daddy, I love my daddy, you know?
She
and
does.
Then,
she does love
and then she saw your big picture and they had a huge poster inside the theater. She went running right up to it and like jumping up and down in front of it. And even this morning, getting ready for school, she loves to do arts and crafts. She was cutting paper and she has a stamp that has her name on it that I used to mark her clothes. And she was stamping her name on all the little rectangles she had cut. And she said she would finish this afternoon when she got home from school, but that they're tickets for her performance.
So, it is so far from the way I grew up.
Oh,
not,
for sure.
It's not even fucking close. Like, it still blows my mind. I don't think I'm ever, and I hope I don't ever get there, I don't think I'm ever going to get to a place where I'm like, this is all normal and this is how my life is supposed to be. Like, when people are nice to me, I think it's amazing. When people go over and above for me, I am thrilled. Like, I mean, it is so far removed from the way I grew up.
You know,
Garrett, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you interrupting me.
Fair enough.
I look at it and I go, I mean, Garrett has the run of the place.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people, Garrett walks into these theaters and people are like, oh my God, that's Steve's son. What do you want? You want a tour? We had gotten this army man with a parachute. I put it on my Facebook and Garrett was like, I want to throw the army man off the balcony so it would parachute down, right? So, I mean, ushers are like running it back up to him, you know, so he can do it again. And then they're like, because it had this beautiful catwalk in the middle for the lighting. And the dude was like, I can't take you up there, but do you want to see it come from the very, very, and Garrett's like, yeah. And this dude's like running up there to do this for him. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, like, wow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. These kids are in a tour bus, in their little man cave, in their little princess bunks. And yeah. It's just, you know, Garrett, you know, we did a little project with Garrett and we're starting to do it more where we go, we're at the airport, you walk us through everything you're supposed to do. I want to see if you can do this on your own. And Garrett's like, We walk in here. We do this. I mean, we just let him.
Yeah.
And that's I didn't get on an airplane until my 20s.
Yeah.
I didn't go to a fucking airport until my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember being like, oh shit, like how am I going to get from where or what or, you know, and I'm teaching Garrett, like, read the signs. Where are we going? You know, and Garrett's handling it, 8 years old. I mean, he has become such a great traveler.
Yeah.
You know, he pulls his bag out. He knows the TSA deal. Like, you know, it's just.
This is the first time Delilah wanted to. We were literally walking out the door. And then she goes, no, my suitcase. And I had us packed in one big, massive suitcase just to keep it easy. And so here's Delilah stuffing books and stuffed animals in her little pink suitcase. And you're like, just let her Stuffies. Take it. So we did, and she did. She wanted to wheel it through the airport.
Garrett was, carry me. I don't want to walk. It's too far. You know, carry my backpack. Delilah's the opposite.
Yeah.
Delilah's like, fuck you, don't carry me. I got this shit. And she had her little backpack and her little deal. And she's keeping up, man. 3 years old. This little girl is keeping up with us, which is... You look at your kids and you go, okay, what traits did our kids get from us? Right? You look at it. Delilah is like me. Go, go, go. I want to be in the action. I don't need to sleep. I don't want to sleep. And I'm happy. I am always in a very good mood. I love to party. I love to have drinks. I love to be up late night.
Yeah. And Delilah will say, but the party's not over. Why yes. do I have to go to bed?
Delilah definitely has the go, go, go. Yeah. I'm in. First 2 days, no nap. And did not get grumpy, did not get, I mean, a little, but she's a woman. But, I mean,
she's like you.
Motherfucker, you know what? Start over. Let's start over. Clap hands. We'll start. You're
good today, dude. Thanks. It's the Dayquil.
It's the Dayquil. Renee's a little high right now. She's getting high on my supply. But, you know, Delilah's got that go, 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 go. Fuck the rules. Figure it out. Like, and Garrett got no, but this isn't the rules. Follow the rules. And I'm like, fuck the rules, Garrett. No. We got to play by the rules. I'm like, I'm a rule breaker, brah. But definitely, so then Delilah, man, she was go, 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 go. We found out, we woke up in Atlanta. I absolutely know we've talked about this before, but that aquarium, wow.
Yeah.
I mean.
They say it's the best in the country.
It is unbelievable.
And then Tatiana was telling me, because she was in the military and they traveled a lot and they were in Japan. She said that and there's an aquarium in Japan. And actually they say that like those are the best two in the world.
And you get to pick out your sushi. You're like, oh, I want to eat that one. And they're like, okay. And then
not funny.
They go get it.
Okay, kind of funny.
It's a little funny. It's a little funny. But I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys. Well, first of all, I like Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's something about that. It has its own thing. People dress very dapper.
You know what? Atlanta does have a unique sense of fashion. People are like bold and brave with their fashion choices in a way that I would kind of compare to like a New York or a Miami.
People dress very dapper. Oh my gosh. We ended up, you know, on a whim because we were Ubering it to the... aquarium, we're like, oh, you know, this breakfast place looks good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how lucky we got.
That we walked in and got a table.
Because after that, line wrapped around.
I mean, the rest of the day, line wrapped around.
Oh, my God. Rick and Adrian. Dude, let me tell you what I ate. Oh, my God. Biscuit. On top of the biscuit, thinly sliced fried chicken. On top of that, fried egg, on top of that, bacon.
Yes.
Then they smothered the whole thing in gravy.
But it wasn't like a traditional gravy. It was like a colored gravy, wasn't it? Or was that from all the bacon grease? I don't know. Maybe it was gravy colored from bacon grease.
And then Garrett's eating his French toast. He goes, 5 stars, this place, Dad. I wish we had one of these in New Braunfels. Five stars. I mean, this place, and right? Service, phenomenal. Food, I mean, it was, I mean, it was amazing. I think
your item was off the menu because the waiter came over and he goes, okay, have you been here before? And we were like, no. And he goes, okay, two off the menu items, and I think they're the best things. And like,
I go, I'm down. For Diddy. Get that one for Diddy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, delicious. Garrett was like, oh my God, best French toast I ever had, Dad. It's so good. but it was literally across the street from the aquarium.
Yeah.
Went into the aquarium. And this aquarium, I could sit there all day.
Yeah.
At one point, we found ourselves just sitting there, just looking. I mean, because the aquariums are so huge.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, the tanks are huge.
Beautiful. I mean, the bagula, beluga.
Keep going.
The beluga whale.
That is hands down my favorite. I just think they're like crazy, majestical. They almost look like magical, mythical creatures.
It was awesome. And then they have two whale sharks. One is 24 foot. The other one is 26 foot.
Yeah.
And you don't ever see them together. That's how big this aquarium is. I mean, it is unbelievable. And then to see Delilah like, oh, Dad, that's that. And there's Nemo. And,
yeah,
you know, that's a hammerhead. And, I mean,
puffins and penguins.
It was a really, you know, that's to me is the thing that makes traveling with our children worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it really, right? Because they're learning to travel. They're learning to get on an airplane. They're learning to jump on a bus and
honestly,
different cities. And
for me, this trip, I mean, you were working and I would hang back with the kids. But this trip I realized like they got so much good sibling time in, like we don't realize because of the age gap and Garrett's got his baseball and his jujitsu and like all of his activities, they don't necessarily have a ton of time. That's just like them to chill and be siblings.
But I've said that before. That's one of the favorite things about being on the road is being trapped.
Yeah.
Literally being trapped on that bus with your family. We all have to be together.
Yeah.
You know, and Delilah would jump on top of our bed in the back and we would just cuddle for hours and watch whatever.
Yeah.
Garrett would come in and cuddle with us. And it's just, you know, when you're at home, it's the constant. There's a lot of space at our house.
Yeah.
So everybody's separated and everybody's in different rooms and we're running to baseball or jujitsu or whatever. When we're together, we're just together.
Yeah. They just hung out. They hung out together.
And they played.
Yeah.
You know, Garrett and Delilah would play. And then the bus driver, I got to tell you, man, what a sweet guy. He bought Delilah a little bitty giraffe and a little book. And he goes, across the street, or on the other side of this block, is the Jim Henson Museum.
Well, it's the Museum of puppetry, of puppetry arts, but Jim Henson is the
king of it, right? Yeah. He made it famous. So we went over there because they were doing a puppet show in there.
But we're not talking about like little kid puppets. I mean, it is the Center for Puppetry Arts. It is a professionally produced production.
But this was like a touring company. Artsy fartsy bullshit. And I sit there and I think to myself, yes. This artsy fartsy bullshit, it needs to be there. But you're also like, I will not come back.
Well, okay.
Why not do a show that is more general market, not so artsy fartsy?
We were not the intended audience.
Who the fuck is?
It said ages 12 and up. I have been, you haven't been, but I went, no, it wasn't that puppet theater. You know what? There's another puppet theater in Phoenix. And Garrett and I have gone to see a show there when he was younger. And that was geared towards younger kids. Your mom went with us. And it was more appropriate. I mean, I think if we had been there 2 weeks later, they were doing The Emperor Has Clothes or Doesn't Have Clothes or whatever that.
I want the arts to succeed. I think it's really cool to do a puppet show.
I think
have some artsy fartsy bullshit, but if you want people to come, make it fucking good. This was not good.
I don't know. I disagree.
Hippies running around with sticks. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
The way they reuse the set pieces and things like that, that's creativity.
It's boring. It was fucking boring.
This one was a little slow. Yeah.
I ain't mad at them.
Yes.
Different strokes for different folks. However, if you...
It wasn't Disney on Ice.
If you want the arts to continue, do provide a show that is for the general market.
I hear you. This was a puppet company out of New York. It was probably a little too avant-garde.
Is that the word? Avant-garde?
Yes, that's the word.
Are you sure that's the word?
Yes.
Okay, it was very avant-garde.
You don't have to spell it. Don't worry.
I'm not going to go there again. How about that? How about they lost me as a customer? But it was really cool to see like actual Big Bird.
Yeah, that was awesome. And Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
I didn't realize that he did Pan's Labyrinth.
No, it wasn't Pan's Labyrinth. It's something else.
Yes.
It's a different... I mean, maybe he did do Pan's Labyrinth too, but what was being displayed there was Pan's Labyrinth... but it's a different thing. It's
Pan's Labyrinth.
Jim Henson's. It's called something else. But yeah, he's done all kinds of weird and wacky
things. Adrian and Rick, and I know that you girls are probably not into this. Fraggle Rock was a big deal when I was a kid. You know Fraggle Rock?
Why was Fraggle Rock a big deal? I mean, I know of it, but it wasn't a big deal for me.
Worries for another day. Dancing cares away. Down to Fraggle Rock. Dude, they had Uncle Traveling Matt. They had like the little ankle traveling Matt. And I was like, the little dozers. And I was like, oh my God. Like, that was a big show when I was a kid. I know Rick wants to talk about it. Go.
No. They re-released it, or I have new ones not too long ago. And it is awesome.
And it's puppets again. The kids.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Was that on HBO? Did that first?
I think it was on HBO.
I think so too.
Fraggle Rock was an HBO show?
Yeah, I as a kid.
I always think of HBO as like the sexy, racy stuff.
Well, first of all, as kids, our generation, we didn't have much. Like, we had Sunday mornings, we had the Cartoon Express on USA, and then we had HBO Fraggle Rock. Like, and so, and Punky Brewster. I still want to bone
Steve's
her.
Crush. That's Steve's crush, Punky Brewster.
Worries for another day, dance your cares away. Down at Fraggle Rock.
What age is it appropriate for? Would both our kids be into it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we gotta show it to them now that we've been to the Center for Puppetry Arts.
But, dude, I love that show. And to see the little Fraggle Rock puppets, I was like, oh, man. Because it's one of those that kind of is in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I know Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
You know. Pan's Labyrinth, right?
I don't know.
Labyrinth. Yeah, I didn't know that was a Jim Henson thing. Because it's dark.
He has some other darker things. He does. He even did a show, it was called like The World of Jim Henson. And it was kind of wacky and weird and out there. And it was like...
dark.
All of it. People associate him with Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock. But he had all kinds of other stuff.
People don't realize how dark Disney is.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about that? Like the Winnie the Pooh ride... he dies and comes back a fucking ghost. Like, do my kids need this right now?
Yeah.
It's for tiny children.
Yeah.
I remember Renee and I going through there like, did Winnie the Pooh just got murdered?
Electrocuted or something? Yeah,
he just got murdered. Like, we're watching this right now? But anyway, we bailed on the avant-garde. We bailed.
Delilah wasn't feeling well.
And then Renee, in her classic Renee fashion, we're like, let's get the fuck out of here, right? We get the team, we bounce, door closes behind us, and then Captain Evil's like, I left my cell phone.
My phone is on the seat, in the theater bench.
Delilah's not feeling well, and I'm like, I'm going to meet you at the bus. So I walk back to the bus.
It's getting close to showtime, too.
An hour goes by.
Was I gone for an hour? I couldn't get back in the building. They'd already shut down the box office, and I couldn't get back in the building. And I'm like knocking on the door. This is like picture an old schoolhouse with all these windows, multi-floors. And I'm like going around banging on any window I can reach. I go back to the service entrance. I'm pushing the call button. I can see there's a camera. And I'm like, they probably think I'm like a crazy woman trying to
finally she gets consequences.
Theater.
That's why I'm laughing. Finally, your actions.
I knew at some point there would be punished. An intermission. I was like, at some point there's going to be an intermission or someone is going to have to come out of the theater to pee and I will flag them down and get their attention. I just need to be here when that happens. And that's what happened.
I'm in the bus hanging out. Me and Garrett in our little man caves.
And then I'm like, I don't have my phone and you've left. So I can't even like call the theater and see if maybe someone picks up the phone, which I doubt they would. But I was like, I can't even tell you I'm still here and I can't leave.
But we are we're downtown Atlanta. No offense to Atlanta, because I love that town.
Midtown. We were Midtown.
We're in Midtown. Pretty sketch with the homeless crew. Okay.
I mean, couple on the of weekends, grown men, couple of grown men working in Midtown. On
couple
the
of grown men with leotards, a whole thing. So I'm like, I'm going to the bus. Like, I can't stand out here. I mean, I am a badass, but I cannot stand out here with a 3-year-old and Garrett. Like, I can't just stand here. So I go to the bus and I'm thinking, oh, Renee's going to go in and get her stuff and be right behind me. An hour, Renee's out there
trying to get in,
trying to get her phone.
Yeah. I knew exactly where it was too. Like the usher, he like stuck his head out and I was like, my phone is on that bench in the back. He goes, I'll grab it for you. He went in and grabbed it for me, like stuck it back out the door.
I mean, I was calling it. So I was hoping
it was on silent.
Of course it was.
Because we were in a theater. Why would it be on? That was my fear, is that it wasn't on silent and you're blowing up my phone.
Well, that would have helped because then people would have been like,
find it. That would have been awful.
How do we shut this bitch up and they'll go find her? But, It was the I will say that the puppetry side of things was really cool.
The puppet museum part.
The show, if you would have forced me to go there, it's just me and you on a date, I would have been like,
you would have been so pissed.
I better get laid after this. Like, there's payments have to be made. Oh, some were canceled. But then, I didn't even tell you this. Huh. DJ Hurricane from the Beastie Boys came to my show.
Oh, how cool. Which show? The one in Atlanta?
The one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I saw him in Corpus a million years ago when I saw the Beastie Boys.
How random.
Well, no, it's not random. He's friends with Mike Young.
Oh, okay.
So he came with
Mike
Jeff.
Mike Young is friends with everybody.
Oh, he knows everybody. And I was thinking about Rick because I know Rick did History of Hip Hop.
Uh-huh.
Did y'all do anything with DJ Hurricane?
Yeah. He was in the doc. It was the History of Atlanta Hip Hop. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, super cool dude.
Yeah.
And he was laughing because he walked in and me and Garrett were playing ping pong. And he was like, oh, is this what y'all comedians do backstage? And Mike goes, not normally, but with Steve's, yeah. Like, yeah, Steve's a more family friendly back here, you know.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, every single show, so many great people at the meet and greet.
Oh, yes. I have to say thank you to, and I feel so bad, Cool Beans. Her name's Patricia, but I know Cool Beans because that's her Instagram handle, and she always is super sweet and supportive and comments on our things. She brought the sweetest gift for all of us, super thoughtful, to Chattanooga, and I feel so bad because the kids and I didn't get off the bus. I didn't get to say hello or meet her in person, but thank you. That was a very sweet gift. Thank you, Patricia.
But that's what makes it, I mean, you know, every single show. You know, you sit there and you go, well, maybe I don't want to do meet and greet because it's just too hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I do the meet and greet, to me, it is the icing on the cake.
It's the human connection.
It's the oil in the engine. I mean, when people come to me and say, hey, you know, you got me through this or you got me through that. Or I had a guy come up to me and say, man, I lost my brother. I lost my father. And, you know, he broke down and I hugged him and we hugged each other and he said, thank you for getting me through these tough times. And,
Yeah. You
know, when I have veterans come up to me and say, hey, you know, the fact that you talk about suicide awareness after your show, you know, really means a lot to me. I mean, it just those moments, and we had a lot of those moments this weekend where, you know, it's just very meaningful and it really makes me feel like what I do serves a purpose, and that people do care, and that people do enjoy the laughter.
A purpose beyond the ego of it all.
Yeah, a purpose behind the me going up there going, you're filling my soul with your laughter, and you're helping me, but to find out that I'm also helping them, and to be able to hug those people, to be able to shake their hand, to be able to give them that photograph that, you know, several people, oh my God, I can't believe I get to meet you. You know, that to me, you know, and this weekend was just, it was very full of that.
Yeah.
You know, not that other weekends aren't. This weekend, for whatever reason, was full of the emotional meet and greet. And, you know, and Kate, who takes the pictures,
uh-huh.
she's like, Steve, and you know, she does all the tours, right? She's Steve, she's she's like, with you, I never know when to like stop it or not stop it.
Say
or,
next.
Or, keep pushing them along. She goes, because she's, you're hugging them, you're talking to them, you're holding their hands, you know? And I go, because it's those little moments that not only make it a wonderful experience for them, but it makes it a wonderful experience.
It's fulfilling for you,
for
too.
Me,
yeah.
You know, and to have that human connection and to see that we are affecting lives and that other people view our stand-up as something that's therapeutic.
Your stand-up.
Our stand-up. Without you, there's no show. Okay, if you're not leaving your phone in a theater, there's nothing to talk about.
I'm not making you take family pictures once a year.
Oh, my God. That bit is so funny right now. I love that bit so much, dude. It's killing.
Yeah.
And to have people come to me and go, oh, my God.
Yes.
That's our life. Yes. Right? I absolutely love it. But it was a great weekend overall. And to share it with my family in close quarters.
Yeah.
We did. We have to figure out a way to be more careful with Delilah. Poor girl, man. She got home. And we put her down for well, first of all, she napped from the airport all the way home, which was about an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we get home.
Well, you got to say that we started our morning. What time? The bus? 4:30 in the morning. The bus was dropping us back off at the airport.
Yep. And, you know, flying, she drove from the airport, took a nap. We got home. She got a little cranky. So we're like, okay, maybe she needs another nap. She went to bed at 3:30, 4 o'clock, and Renee's calling me at 8 going.
So it was like 7:30 before she woke up again.
She's like, she has not woken up. And I'm like, well, let her sleep, you know. And she did. And I get home. I shower. I put Garrett down. I come out. She's 10 o'clock at night. She's watching TV. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to get her.
Tired. We're like,
I don't know if we're going to get her back down, man. But she did. She ended up going back down. But. You know, because she's always such a happy kid,
yeah.
You tend to forget that, oh, wait a minute, she's pushing herself.
We still need to help her regulate.
Yeah, she's pushing herself harder than we think because she's in a good, you know, Garrett has the same issue when it comes to illnesses. Garrett will not tell you he's sick until the doctor's telling you, why haven't you brought this child in? And we're like, he just told us because Garrett will just keep going. You know, so we do have to figure out a way to be more on it with Delilah.
I realized this time, too, I was like, oh, I got home and I was tired and I'm an adult. So if I'm this tired, it's got to be amplified for little Delilah. And this time, too, you're usually like, well, now you sympathize with me. And and usually I'm like, oh, quit your complaining. Like, get over it. Just go. But like after this tour bus trip, I do sympathize with you a little more. No, honestly. Yes. I'm being honest.
Are we having a moment?
We're having a moment.
We're having a moment.
The tour bus schedule is hard.
Renee, this is very avant-garde of you. I don't know what's going on.
No, but that grueling schedule and then being tired, and you have found a process for seamlessly transitioning yourself back into a normal schedule.
Because I get home.
It's hard.
I get home off the road after having a weekend like that.
Yeah.
And Renee's like, let's go. Let's go. Be a dad. No. Don't be grumpy. Wash this clothes. Cook for us.
No, that is not true.
Take care of your kids. I'm done with them. I've had them all weekend. You take care of them. And I'm like, dude, I just got off the road. Like, I haven't slept. I don't care. Do it. And now, and I do it. I handle it. Daddy handles it. Now you know.
That theater schedule is
It's brutal. Hard.
Yeah. And it's like hard. It's like a double-edged sword in that there are lots of bonuses for taking your family with you and getting to spend that time together. But I also feel like, and it's nice to not have to like unpack a bag in each city and pack your stuff back up and schlep it. But it's hard to sleep well on a tour bus. And also it's really hard because you can't poop on a tour bus.
Yep. And you can't have sex. I don't know how we went from poop to sex, but.
Both those things are really hard.
You have to wait to poop at the theater.
Some more than others.
And the bad part is like they know.
Yes.
Like you get to the theater and you're like, hey guys. And then you go and you shit and you leave and they're like,
and it's
shit.
Like this huge backstage. For sure, and you're like, shit. You walk in and the first thing you're like is like, excuse me, where's the restroom?
Hey man, hey, where's the shitter?
Not nice to meet you, but hey, just man. Hey, where's the restroom?
I got to cut some turds with this turd cutter here, and I don't know if you got a place for me to shit. But
it's embarrassing. That part is hard. It's embarrassing.
Hey man, don't go in there. My wife just took a big old shit.
I don't. Who plans their poops?
It is hard to.
I had
your
to
poops.
Fish Delilah's turds out of the toilet with like a doggy bag because little kids don't understand that concept. You can't be like, okay, Delilah, now it's time to poop. We're at the theater.
Okay, so I'd like to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Aztec Chevrolet for always being there for us. They have one in Beeville. They have one in Uvalde. They have one in Goliad. Please give them a chance. Old Salt Coffee, delicious. We absolutely love it. Trevino 10, Pig Cherries. They always take care of us. And I think it's a good time to announce that Renee and I are producing another podcast called The Rambling Gypsy with our friend Tiffany. So give that one a listen. I think they're doing a great job.
Yes. Oh, they're hoot. They are a hoot.
Yes, and it is very... female centric, and it's they're very candid.
Yes,
with their conversation.
Two ladies who have no problem speaking their mind.
Oh, they have no problem, and we love it. We hope you guys give them a chance. Go ahead.
Oh well, are you done with the sponsors? Because I just want to say one thing. Just
oh, Rebecca Creek.
I see a question coming up a lot. People are asking. They're saying like, oh, I'm seeing you live coming up. I already have tickets to your show, but the special is dropping. Like, are they the
new
same
material
thing? So no, I just want to be clear. The tour is The Good Life and it is all new material.
All new material.
And the special is Simple Man and that's completely different material.
I just hope that there's people that love to go on this journey with me, right? I hope that they love seeing the material from scratch and then seeing it polished and then seeing it filmed, and yeah. Then know, oh, here we go again,
yeah.
Right? And we
so
go
even
on
if
journey.
They did see you on the right. Road, depending on where they saw you, Simple Man is like you said, it is a finished, produced version of that.
Yes. Rick, have you seen the new material yet?
No, I was actually thinking of coming, you're in Austin this week, I was thinking of coming this week to see it.
Oh man, I'd love to see you, dude. Bring the Jordan 12s. Oh, that's right, you don't have them. And you're not allowed to get them. My bad, dog. Wear the same old bullshit then.
Yeah, you're going to see my Jordan 4s.
What size are you anyway? They got to be more expensive for Shreks like you.
I'm only 12 and a half.
You're 12 and a half?
Was that big?
How do you hold your body up?
Very top heavy.
I mean, you would think the little ankles would break on those shoes.
That's why he wears high tops.
Every time I see you, I have ankle problems.
Do you really? That's hilarious.
Yes.
Dude,
Rick's like, no, this is not hilarious.
I'm dying over here because the new girl's like, oh my God. Did he just say that to his friend Rick? We are friends. He knows what he looks like. And he ended up with a beautiful wife, so you know he's successful.
We love you, Rick.
You know he makes money.
We love you.
And he's got a... Not a big foot. He does not have a big foot. We love you, Rick. Man, I would love to see you on Friday.
Rick
oh
just
my
got
God.
Real quiet.
Adrian's dying, dude.
Rick got
Adrian
real
is dying.
Quiet.
This
I'm sorry
this
we made
episode,
you uncomfortable,
whatever happens, happens. You like it, you don't like it. They all can't be great. Okay. But it was fun. We'll see you next time. We love you guys. Steve Trevino and Captain Evil. Please like, please share, please tell the world about Simple Man. Please. We love you guys. Thank you.